Welcome to Redfin Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. Thanks for downloading and listening to the show. Here's what we'll cover in this episode for the week of May 5th. Microsoft and Yahoo scrap acquisition plans. Windows XP SP3 suffers a glitch with Dynamics Retail. Web attacks are on the rise. And IT budgets contract in 2008. We'll head to the first news bits from Redmond right after this quick sponsor message from Citrix.
Virtualization is one of the most talked about technologies in recent history. You know the benefits already, but are your servers virtualized yet? Are you waiting because of the cost and complexity? There's no need to wait. Citrix Zen Server is the simple, low-cost way to get up and running now. In as little as 10 minutes, your servers can be virtualized. So download a free copy of Citrix Zen Server now. Just go to www.citrix.com/zenserver. That's www.citrix.com/xenserver and get your 10 minutes to Zen.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast roundup of Microsoft news and other IT happenings. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, and I'd like to thank everyone who downloads or streams this show or shares it with others. And be sure to listen to the end of the podcast to find out how to enter my weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. Now, here's what made headlines over at redmondmag.com last week. And it was a pretty short week for Redmond news. Citing a hefty price tag and other concerns, Microsoft, over the weekend, officially scrapped its plans to acquire Yahoo. In a letter to Yahoo CEO Jerry Yang, Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer dismissed the possibilities of both a friendly buyout and a hostile takeover, stating he believed that in a hostile takeover situation, Yahoo would take steps to make itself an unattractive acquisition target. In the letter Microsoft made public over the weekend, Ballmer wrote, "After giving this week's conversations further thought, it is clear to me that it is not sensible for Microsoft to take our offer directly to your shareholders. This approach would necessarily involve a protracted proxy contest and eventually an exchange offer. Our discussions with you have led us to conclude that, in the interim, you would take steps that would make Yahoo undesirable as an acquisition for Microsoft," end quote. As for a friendly buyout, Microsoft said that Yahoo is just asking too much. In his message, Ballmer wrote, "In our conversations this week, we conveyed our willingness to raise our offer to $33 per share, reflecting again our belief in this collective opportunity. This increase would have added approximately another $5 billion of value to your shareholders compared to the current value of our initial offer. It would also have reflected a premium of over 70% compared to the price at which your stock closed on January 31st. Yet it has proven insufficient, as your final position insisted on Microsoft paying yet another $5 billion or more, or at least another $4 per share above our $33 offer." In response to Microsoft's withdrawal of the offer, Yahoo issued statements from Yang and Roy Bostock, chairman of Yahoo. Both expressed satisfaction that the Microsoft distraction can now be put behind them so that the company can focus on its core business. Now on to some news that really matters. Last week, Microsoft's .NET Framework Program Manager, Christoph Qualina, announced that his team is working on a new framework for .NET, Managed Extensibility Framework, designed to improve compatibility with third-party extensions. According to Qualina, MEF currently consists of three technologies that work together: a dependency injection framework, a naming and activation service, and a duck typing structural type system. The team is working with the Unity framework as well as the DI community to develop MEF, according to Qualina. Qualina said that a ship date for the project is not yet known. Qualina's team is seeking input from developers on what they'd like to see in MEF. Advanced developers who want to add speech capabilities to applications should check out a pre-beta technical preview of Windows speech recognition macros for Vista. When speech macros are created, the user can speak a word or a phrase into the PC's microphone, and if the speech is recognized, an action will be executed. It's not exactly clear, though, what actions this beta can carry out. Microsoft provides two demos by Microsoft MVP Will DePaulo, showing how you can program an API for the Windows speech recognition macros using C++ in Visual Studio. The demo, after much work, shows text being returned at a command line prompt in response to spoken words. Microsoft seems to have much more in mind for those macros than just returning text in response to speech. A blog post from late last year suggested users would be able to create speech macros with no programming experience whatsoever. Possible actions in response to an uttered word or phrase might be to send keystrokes or to launch programs, according to the blog post. However, the coding complexity shown in DiPaolo's demonstration suggests such capabilities haven't arrived just yet, at least in terms of having no programming experience to set up the macros. Three new public betas that boost capabilities in Microsoft System Center Operations Manager 2007 were announced last week at the Microsoft Management Summit 2008 event in Las Vegas. IT administrators typically use Operations Manager 2007 to centrally monitor network operations as in a data center. The new public betas include System Center Operations Manager 2007 cross-platform extensions, which provides additional support for some open-source platforms, System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2008, and System Center Connectors. The first beta release, Cross-Platform Extensions, is designed to help IT administrators use Operations Manager 2007 to monitor various open-source operating systems and server solutions, including HP UX and Sun Solaris. Quest Software, Novell, and Xandros have been adding their support for the cross-platform extensions. They use them to enable the monitoring of open-source applications from Apache and MySQL, as well as proprietary applications from Oracle. Xandros, in particular, created management packs for open-source Apache and MySQL servers running on Linux and Solaris, according to Microsoft's announcement. The second beta release, Virtual Machine Manager 2008, integrates with Operations Manager 2007 and allows administrators to deploy virtual machines across Windows Server 2008 Hyper-V, Microsoft Virtual Server 2005 R2, or VMware ESX Server. The third beta release, Connectors, allows System Center 2007 to exchange data with competing management systems offered by other vendors, in particular, HP OpenView and IBM's Tivoli Enterprise Console. The big advance in Operations Manager 2007 over MOM 2005 is its improved method of monitoring mixed software and hardware computing environments, otherwise known as heterogeneous environments, using services modeling language. The three betas just released added to this capability. Now on to our final news in this segment. It was reported last week that one of Microsoft's retail point-of-sale applications has an incompatibility with Windows XP Service Pack 3 and Windows Vista Service Pack 1. So Microsoft postponed web access to downloading Windows XP SP3. However, the company is still making Windows Vista SP1 available via Microsoft Download Center or Windows Update. A notice briefly describing the problem was posted last week in a Microsoft TechNet blog by Chris Kerouac. SP1 was supposed to be released last Tuesday. On the Vista side of things, Windows Vista SP1 availability via Windows Update was first announced on March 18th, although some users experienced snags in trying to install it. Microsoft fixed that glitch, which was associated with an endless reboot problem. The current XP SP3 compatibility issue stems from an application called Microsoft Dynamics Retail Management System. Microsoft's blog recommended that customers using this RMS solution not install either service pack. For those who have done so already, they should contact Microsoft Customer Support Services to get more information, according to the blog. An All About Microsoft blog by Mary Jo Foley provided an official explanation for the apparent inconsistency of allowing access to Windows Vista SP1, but not Windows XP SP3. Up next, we'll have news from the far reaches of IT. Do remember to listen to the very end of the podcast to find out how to enter the Redmond T-shirt giveaway. As usual, you're listening to Redmond Radio. Thanks for listening to Redmond Radio. If you enjoy listening to this program and staying informed with what's happening in IT, please pass this show around to your colleagues. Before we finish up with the rest of the podcast news, Here's an update regarding what's online on the Redmond Media Group websites. In Redmond Magazine in May, a look at the ever-evolving multi-core processing systems that is causing confusion and chaos in server rooms everywhere. And in Redmond Channel Partner this month, tips for Microsoft partners to survive a recession. The timing couldn't be better, I say. And finally, a reminder to listen all the way to the end of the podcast for details on how to enter our weekly Redmond T-shirt giveaway. Lots of IT survey news to cover this time out. First, IT executives are focusing on cutting costs rather than investing in technology this quarter, according to an IDC report. IDC conducted in-depth interviews with 27 U.S.-based CTOs and other senior IT executives and found a, quote, significant shift towards cost reduction as a response to the economic downturn, end quote, according to a release statement from IDC's Henry Morris. The study said that more than half of the executives interviewed said that their IT budgets had already been negatively impacted by the current economic downturn, with the rest expecting a negative future impact. More than two-thirds also said that their funding is moving back to being more centralized, in part for better control and efficiency, they say. To help control costs, IDC said that many of the executives are turning to technologies like virtualization and application consolidation, with 25 of the 27 IT executives focused on modernizing their company's legacy applications and architectures. A recent study from Sophos says that servers in the U.S. and China host the lion's share of malware-infected websites, and that web attacks surged to an all-time high in the first quarter of this year. It's a disturbing trend, to be sure. For the first 3 months of 2008, in fact, Sophos identified about 15,000 freshly infected web pages every day. Here's another disturbing factoid. Last year, China sat atop the malware list. This time around, the U.S. is host to the largest number of malware-infected websites. Couple this with the fact that almost 80% of poisoned sites are, in fact, legitimate websites that have been hacked to host malware. While all isn't such bad news, Sophos did report that malware-infected email seems to be declining, with just 0.4% of all email sent during the first quarter being infected, compared with 0.11% in the first quarter of 2007. All right, now onto a SaaS study which indicates that SaaS is proving to be a popular way to deliver software applications. A survey from McKinsey & Company and the Sandhill Group of 850 enterprise software customers shows SaaS to be the most important enterprise software trend, followed closely by web services and service-oriented architecture, then offshoring and globalization, as well as open-source software and software industry consolidation. The survey asked participants to select the most important software trend impacting their business. 31% selected SaaS, up 1% from the last time the firms asked the question in 2006, while web services and SOA also rose 1%, from 24% to 25%. Offshoring and globalization remained in third place, but dropped 2 percentage points from 15% to 13%. Open source also dropped from 10 to 8%, as did software industry consolidation, with only 7% choosing it as their top trend this year, as opposed to a whopping 17% in 2006. IT budgets are more focused towards subscription and on-demand licenses, the research found, with 19% of the average respondent's budget going toward subscription and on-demand services in 2008. And in our final item, yet another survey, of course, Gartner is predicting that the current economic downturn in the U.S. will mean that more IT and development positions will go overseas. In its summary report titled "Offshoring IT Services Can Cut Costs, Options for a Potential Economic Downturn," Gartner analyst and Vice President Ali Young said that in the best-case scenario, a short-term downturn, buyers will aggressively seek cost-saving measures by accelerating offshore delivery, or for first-time users, moving IT services to offshore locations. In the case of an extended downturn, Young predicted that buyers will aggressively move toward offshore destinations and service providers that can offer a global delivery model to access lower-cost IT labor for routine IT work that must continue for the business to operate. Another Gartner analyst, Arup Roy, agreed, saying that organizations are likely to conclude that increasing the proportion of work to offshore locations is the best way to reduce labor costs, among other benefits. Roy continued in his note, in most sectors, the watchword is caution. IT budgets have not yet been cut, and offshore services options are being considered or accelerated as a prudent step to contain labor costs. The study was released by the India-based arm of Gartner last month. It indicated that India will most likely continue to be a lead choice for outsourced services, despite the recent appreciation of the Indian rupee and rising wage rates there. And that's it for this week's episode of Redmond Radio. As usual, before we end the podcast, I'd like to once again remind faithful Redmond Radio listeners that you can win a t-shirt in my weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. It's real easy to enter. Just send me an email with the new t-shirt giveaway phrase, I want a t-shirt, on the subject line of your message to mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo@1105media.com. And remember that the phrase is, I want a t-shirt, not Redmond t-shirt as it has been in the past. Entries not supporting the new phrase will be ignored. Okay, this week's winner, Jason M. Thanks to Jason for listening, and good luck to everyone else next week. That's it for this episode of Redmond Radio. I'm Michael Domingo. I'd like to thank Citrix once again for their sponsorship of this program. And I also want to thank all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program. See you here next week.